Good afternoon. Hey, it's me, Maria Vasquez Boyd, in Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We're with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, Central Standard Time, and online, streaming live audio at KKFI.org. Yeah, so thank you so much for making us a priority. Today on the program, we've got Josie May, who is the executive director of Spiva Center for the Arts. She's going to, we've got a recorded interview with her. I also have photographer Sharon Rodriguez, Ryan Bell from Maker Faire, Kansas City, at the Science Center and Union Station. Very exciting stuff that's going to take place this weekend. Also on the bill, we've got Bill Sundahl, our special events coordinator, who's going to talk about the collaborations event that's taking place at the Folly, June 30th. Also, I will make an announcement about our wonderful little event that's happening on Friday, Alpha Women Right Back. That's happening Friday, June 23rd, 7 to 8:30 p.m. with some really prominent, talented writers, Iris Applequist, Annette Buildings, and Krista Siglin. They're going to read poetry, discuss their work, pose questions, and talk back to audience members. That's this Friday at Cherry Pit Collective at 604 East 31st Street. And, of course, I will be there, and you will too, I promise. We'll have a great time. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, right, in the upcoming hour. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and get started with an interview with Josie May. And this was recorded in her home in Carthage, Missouri. So if you hear a dog bark or people in the background, that's because we recorded it in her home. Josie May is the executive director of Spiva Center for the Arts. Now, in August of last year, 80 local, regional, and national artists were invited to a year-long sketchbook project. Now, the artists have 1 year to fill a sketchbook until Labor Day of this year. The sketchbooks will be returned to Spiva and become property of the Center for the Arts, the Spiva Center for the Arts, and they'll be archived in the library. And you'll find out more as you listen to the interview with Josie May. I want to say thank you for having me here today, Josie May. And let's talk a little bit about the sketchbook project that that's ongoing right now.
Sure. Well, I stole the idea, I guess in the art world we say appropriated.
Appropriate.
From the Brooklyn Sketchbook Project. They've been around for, I want to say, at least 10 years, and a colleague of mine participated in that. And I thought it would be an awesome adaptation to do it in the Joplin region. Essentially, every person gets the same sketchbook, and they have 1 year to fill it however they want to. Collage, printmaking, writing, taped, printed, it doesn't matter. And then they turn that original sketchbook back in, and it's a gift, essentially, to the institution or the project. And there's essentially an archive, a collection, where then the public can come view it. We will be scanning ours and having those digitally online so anyone in the world can view the images. But it's essentially a year-long documentation of process and dreams and hopes and maybe nightmares. I don't know. It depends on the person.
Well, and there was probably a lot of a lot of things that you had to get in place before you could actually sort of dole out the sketchbooks, right?
Yeah. I actually had to create a contract of sorts just to kind of make it look official in a way, but also to be clear with the artist what I was looking for. And, you know, rights to images, I don't want to be uptight about that, but wanted to be clear that they were giving these, but they still retained the ownership, they can still use them. So, you know, there's some research. I actually consulted with a lawyer to see, you know, if that was appropriate. I researched the kind of sketchbooks I wanted to get to make sure they are sturdy and good, but affordable for us as an art center to purchase. I did some online fundraising to offset the costs.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Was what about the funding? How did
Yeah,
how did that work?
I created an online Indiegogo site. Mm-hmm. You know, Kickstarter's been around a long time. Hatch Fund raised about $1,600-$1,700, which was which interestingly, it's mostly the artists that donated to that. So not only are they giving mm-hmm. their original mm-hmm. artwork and committing to a project for a year, which is hard for some artists to do, to commit to something for a year, they actually contributed 10, 15, 50 bucks.
That's terrific.
To this,
yeah.
Is,
so it's an investment.
Me,
yeah.
Like they,
yeah.
they want to own this project. Yeah. And that was really special. So it was enough money to buy the sketchbooks for the 80 artists and about 60 sixth graders.
So when did you actually have your sketchbooks in hand to forward to the artists?
We started September of 16. So if people were local and could drive, they just came to Spiva, the art center, and signed it out. Mm-hmm. And if they lived, you know, Kansas City or beyond, a couple hours away, I put them in the mail mm-hmm. to them. They just started whenever it was convenient. And then I created a private Facebook group and added all those people to the group. And, oh, mind you, this was completely online.
Mm-hmm.
So I mm-hmm. invited, personally, 150 artists through Facebook. I messaged all of you guys individually and just, you know, to get a response. And so it's all been online, the communication.
So as I'm talking to Josie May in her home, just outside of Joplin, it's Carthage. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got five of the artists here that are participating. And you know, we talked about the artists. Where are they coming from? They're not just local, but you have maybe coast to coast and maybe out of country?
We do.
Country.
I went to graduate school in New York City, so there's some people that are still living in Brooklyn that are participating, a couple in Canada, a couple California, Chicago, several Kansas City artists like yourself, Maria. Thank you for participating, which is very exciting.
You bet.
The folks that are in this room with me now are local. Brenda's from Carthage. Tyler's from Carthage. We've got Joplin, Webb City.
Mm-hmm.
So they were able to come today. And we're just kind of doing a show and tell to encourage each other.
Inspire each other. Well, and as far as the sketchbooks go, were there any guidelines? Is it just kind of like, here, fill it, do whatever you want? Or was there any sort of direction?
How do you guys interpret that? The contract, the terms and conditions, I think, of the form. Did you feel like there was freedom to do what you just showed each other?
Freedom.
Yeah. I would say there was some trepidation.
Sure.
You know, when I handed the sketchbooks out, I probably had at least 20, 25 conversations with people as they came to pick up their book. And they were nervous. And these are even some very accomplished artists
mm-hmm.
that haven't done a sketch or kept a sketchbook in decades.
What was their fear? What was their concerns?
They didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
They felt pressure.
Yeah.
They hadn't thought about what a sketchbook could be in years. So we had great, rich conversations about, you know, what is a sketchbook historically, contemporarily? What could it be used for? Could it be the only artwork you make? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be a plan mm-hmm. for a final piece? Yes. Could it be just a documentation of your daily life mm-hmm. with your grocery mm-hmm. list and your to-do list? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm glad Tyler said freedom, because that's kind of what I want. I want all the artists to just feel like they can play. They can play.
What is some of the imagery that you're seeing online through the closed group that you created?
What do you guys remember? the imagery you remember if you've been looking online on the Facebook group. Do you remember some of the things?
Somebody did some beautiful, I think they're pencil or charcoal drawings of figures.
Oh, yeah. I think those are Luis.
Luis, yes.
Luis Calderon.
Yes. Those are phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a senior art student.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a lot
mm-hmm.
of portraits mm-hmm. of family members.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, what are the age range? I mean, are they all college students, mostly artists that are working artists, or is it, what's the range?
It's a huge range. You know, Nelly is sitting right here. She's an art teacher and has been for years, but I think you'd call yourself an artist. We've got Chayden sitting here, 16. He's been making art since he could hold a crayon and calling himself an artist, I think. High school at this point. Sam's been in and out of art for years. I mean, he's constantly
mm-hmm.
been making work.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda teaches art at different area universities, but has always made work very consistently. Tyla is actually more into historic preservation, and you know, but she, I think she's one of the bravest ones, because you don't sit here and say, you know, I'm an artist, I'm making incredible work, and she's just open and was open today to suggestions and was very honest. And so we have people that call themselves artists, people that don't. The youngest participant is my nephew, Arlo. He's 8, and he really feels like he's an artist.
Terrific.
And I hope he can retain that.
Yeah, I like that.
Participating. Yeah.
So the sketchbooks went out in September.
Yes.
When will you want them back in your hands or at the center?
Yeah, this next September. September 2017, so about Labor Day. So that'll be fascinating to see, because artists don't do well with deadlines.
That's true. That's true.
As I've already seen today, we're all at very different stages of the process, which is fine. Some artists actually do work better under pressure, you know, with that due date. We do need that. So it'll be fascinating to see what kind of angst I stir up when I start reminding people, you know, one more month, 2 more weeks, one more day, you know. So
and we'll see. Ultimately, what is the goal? Once you have these back in your hands at the center, what happens from there?
Yeah, I'm raising money, waiting to hear about a couple grants that would allow the art center that I direct to scan every sketchbook, every 2-page spread. So you're talking about 80 artists times, 40 2-page spreads? Probably there's 80 pages in each sketchbook.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll scan those 2-page spreads and then print them off in color. So I will curate, you know, probably 60 to 80 of these 2-page scans, frame them, and we will have an exhibit for the entire 80 artists next summer, summer of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, and once the sketchbooks are again in the center,
yes.
Will people have access to them hands on, or will they just see the scanned images?
They definitely will, and I'll make sure that the artist has their name clearly. I haven't told you guys this yet. I mean, your name's going to be on.
Listen up.
If there's a website they want to be directed to, you know. Mm-hmm. And also probably have them on one shelf alphabetically.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone can come in during the regular hours of the art center, grab a cup of coffee, sit down at our big conference room library table, and pull down as many as they want and just sit and contemplate and flip through. I mean, I'm sure the participating artists will come in and do that. Because I know they're curious, like we were today, to see each other's work. But I'm hoping that the general public will be turned on by, you know, this process of a sketchbook.
Well, I think it's really an intriguing project because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, that I like to see sort of the process. I like the finished work, but I also just like to see how people think and sort of different trial and error and, you know, different materials in that, because you're not just expecting just pencil and paper and ink, are you?
Right, right. And I think for a lot of us, we struggle with, like, how honest do I want to be? Like, are these things I'm making in the sketchbook, is that really me, or am I just skimming the surface? Or we have this pressure, I feel like, sometimes as artists, to make something that means something.
Mm-hmm.
But today, we've seen a lot of doodles.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of, you know, I go as far as scribbling some of the stuff I've done, just testing of things, experimenting with things, and that is part of the process, you know.
Yeah.
But I think we put this pressure on ourselves as artists.
I would agree to
and
that.
I'm hoping that, again, back to Tyla saying freedom, you know, I hope this has done that for some of these artists.
Pretty liberating.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that I want to ask you, and it's maybe a little premature, but can you see this project happening maybe next year or a few years down the road? Or
yeah,
what are the next steps?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Administratively, it's a lot of energy to kick it off.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a lot of energy to wrap it up, you know, to collect the sketchbooks, get them scanned.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be getting help with that. I won't be doing all that. But it's intensive when you're talking about the work of 80 artists,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't imagine this would happen every year, but I think it could happen, you know, biannually for sure. And I don't imagine that it would be 80 again. You know, it might get to the point where people are like, oh, yeah, I've done that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not. Maybe friends of these folks have seen them do this and want to get in on that at some point.
Maybe it becomes something smaller where, it's a little bit more control in terms of, instead of herding cats with 80 people and sketchbooks and all that, But, maybe, who knows, maybe it turns into a fundraiser.
Yeah, that could be cool. That could be really cool. And I also want it to be, I want people to know these artists. We have patrons that buy artwork that come regularly to the Art Center. This is exposure for them. They're going to be online. We'll have links to their websites, So I want it to be a promotion as well for them, because they're giving us this huge gift. So that's the least I can do in return is help promote their work. So it's just been a win-win for everybody, I think.
So when we leave here today, are you going to get right back into your sketchbook?
Yes, I need to. I'm under the same deadline. I was like, sure. I can't do this project. Sure. Or not do this project, expect 79 other people to do it. So, yeah, I'll be getting on it after.
We're following your lead, honey.
Thanks, Maria.
Well, thank you, Josie, for talking with us today.
It's
and
been an honor.
Really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing the finished work next spring.
Yep.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that was Josie May, Executive Director of the Spiva Center for the Arts. www.spivaarts.org is the website. Find out more about what's happening there in Joplin, Missouri. And I can tell you right now, happening right here in this room at 39 in Maine, we've got the lovely and talented Bill Sundahl. Hello, Bill.
Hello. I don't know how lovely I am, but
well, yeah,
super
I was
talented.
Kind of making you look good on air.
Oh, good. Yeah,
Bill Sundahl
yeah.
is our special events coordinator, and he's going to talk about the collaborations live at Folly Theater.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Maria, for putting on a wonderful show week in and week out here
Love
at KKFI.
You.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Collaborations Live is a fundraiser for KKFI that is going on next Friday at the Folly Theater. So that's June 30th. And doors are at 7. We have a panel discussion on the nature of collaboration in the digital age from 7:15 to 7:45. And that will be moderated by yours truly. And have Calvin Arsenia and Enrique Chi of Making Movies. And we're still filling it out with some other artists that are performing at the event as well. And so we'll just be talking about what's, you don't have to live in the same town or be in the same room or on the same continent anymore to really make art together, or really anything for that matter. So so that's going to be a very interesting discussion. And then that's 7:15 to 7:45, so get there a little early. And then the event starts at 8 o'clock. And so we'll basically, the overarching theme of the event is a night of innovative original music, film, and dance. So basically what KKFI has done is contacted very talented people and said, who would you like to work with to come up with an original collaborative effort that has never been seen anywhere else before? So these are one-of-a-kind performances that have never happened anywhere else. So so we're called Quixotic. And if you're not familiar with Quixotic, they're it's aerial fabric and ballet and crazy light show and super sweet music, and I mean it's always a live band, and they mix in electronic elements, and it's an unbelievable show. And so they said, well, we're planning on working on with Calvin Arsenia anyway, so they hooked up and have put together a 20-minute performance that will include some aerial I don't know if it's fabrics or hoops or have like 50 different things probably.
It's going to be a feast for the eyes and the ears,
without
right?
Without a doubt, yeah. Yes. And so that's just one thing. And so we called Kelly Hunt. And Kelly is a roots and soul artist that's been playing music for, 20-some years in the area. She's from Emporia, but now resides on the other side of Lawrence, I think. So she said, I've been wanting to work with Jeff Black, who's a songwriter who grew up in Liberty, but now lives in Nashville and writes songs for he's written songs for Waylon Jennings and Alison Krauss, and he's been a songwriter in Nashville for 20 years, so he's probably written for hundreds of songs that you've heard that,
Well, it truly is a collaboration. You've got Barclay Martin with the Snow Globes, and that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so Barclay Martin of the Snow Globes and Barclay Martin Ensemble, he said he'd like to work with Julia Hale. So Julia is the singer in The Buzz and Hilux, and then she used to sing in The Goodfoot.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited about that. And so they're going to come up with a few songs together to, create some original music. And then, Ensemble America, I called them and they weren't able to come and perform, but they have been working with, Elks Pride Pictures, who is Matt Dunahoe. And, basically, so we're going to show like a sort of a mashup of all of the things that they've worked on together, and then some of Matt's collaborative efforts where he's produced short films where Ensemble America does the score. So he's going to put together like a really cool little compilation piece that kind of showcases how. So I'm excited about that one too. And then Amado Espinoza is a Bolivian musician who now lives here in KC and plays a ton of crazy traditional instruments, so a charango and several different flutes, and then he's got this big thing. I have no idea what it's called, but it's like a didgeridoo, but it's tunable. Like it's got a slide on it, so it sounds like a trombone a little. It's
pretty
amazing.
It looks like a bazooka. So, yeah,
it does look like a bazooka without the fire, unfortunately. So Amado, we paired him with a Hot Club of KC, which is they play Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli style of gypsy jazz. So that's going to be super cool. And again, these are all one-time performances that, only will be happening this night. So, and then Enrique Chi of Making Movies, is working on founding a nonprofit called Art as Mentorship, because he's been doing these, workshops, in the summer at Matty Rhodes. And, basically out of that, he's met a lot of students, and he's also a guitar instructor, so he's going to have a couple of his students come and perform their original music. And so I got a hold of some UMKC Conservatory students to work with them as sort of like a, well, Enrique's taken one path to success in music, which is like working
huge,
your tail off, and they're doing fantastic. But then conservatory is another another path to success in music. You can jump in and play with anybody, and that's sort of what we're asking them to do here, is to work with the composers of these songs. And so that's going to be a really fun, I think a pretty touching experience to see them, what they come up with all together. A La Mode is a jazz ensemble here around town, and this isn't crazy outside the box, but I could not do a show at the Folly without including some burlesque.
Absolutely.
Just the history of the
history.
Folly is important, and people love burlesque, of course. So A La Mode is going to be performing while a burlesque downtown underground dancers, strut their stuff. And then we're also going to be showing a film that was born out of the Folk Alliance International's Artist in Residence program at their international conference. So Rita Chiarelli is a Canadian blues artist who was the artist in residence, and so she partnered with State City Films, which is Kansas KKFI's own Mikhail Shapiro of River Trade Radio. Mm-hmm. She's also a filmmaker. So they went into a women's prison in Topeka and shot, basically documented Rita creating a choir over 4 days. So it shows a lot of the, the progress of, the prison didn't have a choir, so they just, who wants to come and sing in a choir, and so she taught everybody the pieces to sing some great gospel music. And
there's something for everyone under this big under the Folly.
Oh,
for this evening.
Doubt.
I mean, it's really,
and it's
exciting.
In the Folly, which is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge piece of art sitting right at 12th and Central.
And it is a fundraiser for KKFI, so that will help us tremendously. But to see all of this talent under one roof, it's just, rarely happens. And we're glad that, we can.
I'm super happy to help put
this.
It together.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I didn't say there are VIP experiences available. So from 6 to 7, we're going to have a VIP reception in the boardroom of the Folly, and we're going to have some performances, some other special performances from some of the artists. And that is a VIP ticket is available at kkfi.org/events, as are tickets for all the rest of the seats. It is a reserved seat event. The Folly is there's not a bad seat in the house. So
that's true.
Zero concern. You will be able to find a seat that fits your price point. And then I'm super excited about this event, and I want everyone to come see it. So,
well, there's been a rumor that at the VIP reception in the Folly Boardroom that you're going to perform a little tap dance with your banjo.
I gave my banjo to my brother-in-law. Otherwise, I totally
would. That could have been a true moneymaker right there. No, this is going to be a great evening of just music and sound, light, performance. It's just terrific.
Yeah. We hired the lighting guy, the lighting engineer from Quixotic to do the rest of the show. So I'm very excited about that. Beautiful. We're going to be able to create for all the other artists as well around lighting and it's... and we have a lot of sponsors that have been very generous. Kissick Construction Company is helping support the event. The Neighborhood Tourist Development Fund is always very supportive of big events like this, and this is no exception. The Metzler Copacan Initiative is something that the Folly has put together to allow things like this to happen, which is the catalyst for this thing really happening was our fair Maria Vasquez Boyd said, hey, there's this really cool grant opportunity that the Folly has created. So if you... Maybe you can't afford to work in a union shop because Folly is an expensive place to work. So they've created a grant that is basically will help fund the cost of the theater. So it's really a brilliant partnership with organizations that care about the Folly and wanting to get other folks like KKFI in there to produce events. So that's really what started this thing. Yeah. So you can thank Maria for really making this happen.
Well, you know, it's the arts community. We lift one another up, and that's the best part of it. Again, this is KKFI Presents Collaborations Live at Folly Theater, June 30th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's a fundraiser for KKFI and kkfi.org for more information.
That's right. Just find the collaborations thing on the front, on the website, or just go to kkfi.org/events, and that will lead you right to all the information and the ticketing and how to support KKFI and have a wonderful time at the same time.
I could kiss you for putting all this together. We love you, bro.
I can't even talk now.
Thanks so much, kiddo, and we'll see you at the Folly. All right, we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You are tuned to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. And in honor of our next guest with the Maker Faire Kansas City, we've got Ryan Bell, who's a maker educator with Science City. And she's going to talk about the upcoming fair that is happening this weekend at Union Station. Welcome, my friend, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You bet. You know, the Maker Faire, Kansas City is so much fun. And, you know, people ask, what is Maker Faire? It's a gathering of fascinating and curious people who enjoy learning and love sharing what they can do. And it's from engineers to artists and scientists, crafters. Maker Faire is a venue for these makers to show hobbies, experiments, projects. It's the greatest show and tell on earth, right?
It is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And so we were lucky to have you in today because as you showed me in the green room, she's like, oh, we're out in the parking lot putting things together. So tell us what's on tap for this year.
Well, coming up on Saturday and Sunday, we've got a ton of fantastic things. Over 350 makers. We're having an artist out with Tapeigami who makes art out of masking tape, and just the amazing forms and the detail and the depth that he gets out of plain masking tape is phenomenal. So he'll be doing demos, and you'll be able to build things with him all weekend, which is fantastic. Belger Art Center will be back making clay projects, collaborative pieces with people that are there. We've got a 3D printer that prints candy that you can come out and get some samples from and watch it in action. There's just so many different things and just a huge variety, like you said, of things to do and see and get hands-on yourself.
Well, I remember last year when I went, I was just amazed, you know, how talented and creative people are. I met Gus Davis with the boombox. He makes the suitcases out of boomboxes. And then I saw the pedal-driven big dragon or something that was just sort of riding around in the parking lot.
Yeah,
so
that was our
fun.
Snake.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the way that Kansas celebrates these people who create themselves from new technology and electronic gizmos to urban farming and so on. And it's family friendly, right?
Oh, yes. And this year we're having KCPT coming out and doing a kids zone. So they have maker booths specifically geared towards kids. But everything throughout the fair is just great. And like you said, family friendly, bring everyone everyone. It's great.
Yeah. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Ryan Bell, who is the maker educator with Science City at Union Station. And Union Station is located at 30 West Pershing, Kansas City, Missouri. And, you know, the streetcars drive right by there. So that's a good drop off or, you know, place to head back to where you're coming from. Unionstation.org. Tell us what else. You said there was going to be a concert.
Yeah, so we just opened at Union Station, this fantastic green area outside, and we are going to have a concert there on the Saturday night of Maker Faire at 6 p.m. The gates will open. We're having Anderson East, and then we're going to have local act Chris Mick and the Guilty Birds.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the creators and vendors that stuck out in your mind?
Well, it's,
I know they're all equally good.
It's great because yeah. I can think of, you know, we have 3D printer manufacturers that are coming and local tech people who are making their own printers and they have prototypes. Mm-hmm. But then we also have great artisans that are working with crocheting or embroidery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have the Strawberry Swing pop-up that's coming and joining us this year.
That'd
so Indie Craft Fair, they've got over 70 craft makers that are coming out.
You know, and one thing that I enjoyed watching was the robotics, the sort of teams that are all gathered there down at the Union Station in the big hall.
Yeah, we have all the kids from FIRST Robotics teams and other local robotics organizations, and they come out and they do demos and they show off what they've been working on all school year, which is fantastic.
So when do you actually kick off the Maker Faire?
So it's going to start Saturday morning, and it's going to run from 10 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, and then we'll have the Anderson concert after that, and then Sunday it's from 10 to 5.
So there's, like I mentioned, there's family-friendly events, demonstrations. You can see what people are inventing and making and creating. I remember last year, too, one of the more popular booths was the guy that was making, the really simple materials, and he was making hats and shields and that. I can't remember what his name was, but making sort of costumes or pieces of costumes for children that they could make and take away.
Yeah, and there are so many upcycled and fun things like that again this year.
So the website is unionstation.org for more information about the location. We'll also have a listing of makers and shakers?
Yeah, so we have our program out, and actually if you're going for Maker Faire specific, it's kansascity.makerfaire.com. We have our speakers, our program list, everything, ticket prices, all that's on there.
Yeah, that's terrific. Oh gosh, so much indoors and outdoors at Union Station,
the
right?
Entire space,
yeah.
Multiple levels, front, back, side, everywhere. We take over the entire Union Station.
And I think we might have mentioned a little bit about Science City. Did you want to mention something that was coming up?
Yeah.
At Science City?
Well, Science City will be open during Maker Faire, and it's actually included in your Maker Faire ticket, so you can come see us. We've just had our new outdoor exhibit open up, Simple Machines. So it's really fun. You get large muscle play with all kinds of different levers and pulleys and things like that.
I love it. Unionstation.org, 30 West Pershing, KC, here in Kansas City, Missouri. Ryan Bell, is there anything else that I may have left off or that you wanted to mention?
I think no matter what your interests are, mm-hmm. you could come and have a good time at Maker Faire with our arts, crafts, tech, engineering. So if
sculptures,
any of that appeals to you, we'd love to see you out there.
And of course, one more thing that I failed to mention, food. Food will
we'll
be available.
We'll have food trucks galore.
Okay.
Amazing local
okay.
food trucks are going to be out. So you will not go hungry.
And of course, you have access to the restaurants indoors at Union Station.
Yes.
True? Yeah. So Kansas City's Science Center and Science City Maker Faire, Kansas City, a gathering of fascinating, curious people who enjoy learning and who love sharing what they can do. There's always something for everybody, I think. You know, it's a venue for the makers to show their hobbies, experiments, projects. It's the greatest show and tell on earth. Family-friendly showcase of invention, creativity, and resourcefulness. Be inspired. Right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan Bell. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we have photographer Sharon Rodriguez, who's going to celebrate her book release at the Interurban Art House, the book release of Homeless, Not Invisible, which is a photography documentary about the homeless and Johnson County, Kansas, which is an affluent suburb of Kansas City. The book features 15 of the individuals she encountered, showcasing their portraits and stories. All photos are presented in black and white. They have corresponding stories written in Rodriguez's own hand. And the book invites the reader to truly see and experience the life of a homeless individual and is full of surprises, heartbreak, and survival. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you for having me, Maria.
You bet. You know, I know that many people, when they talk about the homeless, they don't necessarily consider Johnson County as a community that would have a homeless population. What were your findings?
That's correct. And during the first art show that I was part of for Shining the Light on the Homeless, I had more people come up to me and say, I didn't know we had homeless in Johnson County. I was the same way when I started this project. I didn't mm-hmm. know we had homeless, mm-hmm. and I started asking questions about why do we have homeless, especially in the most affluent county in Kansas.
You know, when you started this project, did you have any fears or sort of trepidation about what you might encounter?
No, I really didn't. I was more curious, and I've looked at this more as research. And the people that I've encountered have been very generous, very willing. I have been told no to photographing some people. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about that but there are other people that are more willing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to mention to our listeners, the reception will be held Friday, June 23rd at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Interurban Art House's, their new expansion just behind the post office at 8001 Newton, Overland Park, Kansas. So your photographs will be displayed, and you'll actually have a talk during
Correct.
That time, right?
Correct. Yeah. I'll talk about my process and how I did what I did and how I came to the point of having a book, which I started with an art show, mm-hmm. and then the book followed. It mm-hmm. just seemed like a normal progression. Mm-hmm. And I didn't start out with wanting to do all of this, meaning an art show. It just has evolved as I have progressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many individuals, you say you featured 15 individuals, was there a variety of men, a higher number of men versus women, black, Caucasian, Latino, what was the sort of demographics in that?
The demographics are primarily white men, and I started out wanting to photograph people on the street, people living in their cars, and people couch surfing. So far, I have photographed two of those groups. And I do have two couples. I have one Afro-American woman. I have not encountered Latinos or Asians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that for sure yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, Johnson County covers quite a bit of area, and that sort of spills over here and there. Do you feel like is this going to be an ongoing sort of project for you? Because at just 15 of the individuals that you've encountered, do you feel like this is going to be a bigger project in the long run?
Yeah. Yes, it is going to be bigger, and I've only covered a small area, but I had to start small so I wouldn't get overwhelmed.
Oh, sure.
And to keep me going. And I have photographed in Olathe as well as Overland Park.
Yeah. You know, and I know that as I've read here, there is a lot of surprises, heartbreak, and survival. What can you tell us just a couple of stories of how people arrived at being homeless? I mean, I know everyone has their own story, but is there one in particular that sticks out?
Right. The one that I can talk about right now is a gentleman called Joe. And I met him through Pastor David Willingham. I met several of these people various ways. But Joe said in our interview, he sleeps in the woods now. He survived Desert Shield. He survived Desert Storm and Afghanistan. And that's what he knew. And it was a surprise to me that he was still looking for that brotherhood that he had in the military. And that our military vets are living on the streets. Mm-hmm. And he was living in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the reception will be Friday, June 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Interurban Art House. The website is interurbanarthouse.org, Homeless, Not Invisible, which is a photography documentary by local artist, photographer Sharon Rodriguez. All the photos are presented in black and white. Is there any last words before we take off here?
They had to be in black and white because this was reminiscent of the Depression era to me, that we are still seeing homeless.
Yeah.
They were taken care of in the Depression era. Now we don't know what to do with them. There aren't shelters. There are a lot of service organizations. And I was lucky enough to gain the trust of several of those service organizations, and then gain the trust of the people that I interviewed. It's been a very, very interesting journey.
No doubt. Thank you so much, Sharon Rodriguez. Congratulations on your book, Homeless, Not Invisible, and interurbanarthouse.org is the website for more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maria.
We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You know what? I'm back. That was quick. You know, I do want to tell our listeners that for the second caller, if you call 816-931-5534, I have a set of tickets for you to the Maker Faire at Union Station, 816-931-5534. I'll take the second caller. I also have another set of tickets. So I'll take the second and third caller for the Maker Faire tickets this weekend, 816-931-5534. Call me now. We want to say congratulations to Michael and congratulations to Rachel. They won the set of the pair of tickets for the Maker Faire. So thank you all so much for calling in today. And, you know, I have a couple of announcements to make. Again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, this Friday, June 23rd from 7 to 8:30 p.m., Alpha Women Write Back. It's a creative-filled evening with prominent writers Iris Applequist, Annette Buildings, and Krista Siglin as they read poetry, discuss their work, pose questions, and talk back to audience members this Friday, June 23rd, at the Cherry Pit Collective, located at 604 East 31st Street. It's an exciting and interactive evening, an exchange of words, thoughts, ideas, and writing prompts. It's going to be in an intimate sitting with these three talented published authors, Iris, Annette, and Krista. So you bring your open mind, your notebook, your journal, your pens, your pencils. Prepare to be inspired. The event is free. Seating is limited. We'll be serving refreshments, and you can contact me at mariatortilla86@gmail.com for more information. That's Alpha Women Write Back. I also want to mention that next week, on the air, we're going to, I'm going to start a new sort of monthly segment called Where Were You? I'm asking this question of people here in Kansas City to write a little bit about where were you? For instance, we're going to start off with the Stonewall Riots, which we're going to pay tribute to that, which actually took place place June 28th in 1969 in Greenwich Village. It was a series of spontaneous violent demonstrations by members of the gay LGBT community against a police raid that took place in the early morning hours of June 28th, 1969. So I've asked Miguel Morales, Jade Esteban Estrada, Christopher Leach, and Elizabeth Anderson, where were you? So I want to find out their perspective. Where were you? Did you experience this firsthand? When did you learn about the Stonewall riots? What is the importance, the significance of it today in your world as an LGBT member in the community? So we're going to start that next week. Where were you with writer Miguel Morales, performer Jade Esteban Estrada? We have another talented person, Christopher Leach, curator and writer, editor Elizabeth Anderson will join us next week. I want to thank Josie May for sharing her time and talent with us. Also, Ryan Bell from Maker Faire. Sharon Rodriguez, thank you for your important work. And Bill Sundahl, letting us know what's going on at the Folly. Again, next week, June 28th, we've got Where Were You? The Stonewall Riots, with stories by Miguel Morales, Jade Esteban Estrada, Christopher Leach, and Elizabeth Anderson. You know, I'm going to ask you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, but you know what? It's really going to be Mark Andrus, and we love him just as much. So stay tuned for Jazz in the Afternoon, followed by Groovy Grant at 3 o'clock. Hey, listen, y'all, thank you so much. Thank you so very much for tuning in, making us priority. Thank you so very much. Be sure to download our podcast at kkfi.org. And now, I'm going to say it. Honey, I'm coming home.